Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 10th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the future class of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. We're on a different show for a second there. Did you see that?
Wait, oh, no, I missed it. What show was it?
We had a cool background. Which one was that? Was that in review? Is that screen or screencast?
Yeah, I can't remember. It stayed open.
Am I all the way to the left of my screen? Like, you seen this?
You are. You're unbalanced.
Why am I all the way to the left like this?
You know, a lot of things went wrong that didn't go wrong when I previewed it earlier. No, I can move you.
You can move me? Okay. Because I'm all the way over here. I'm basically falling off my desk.
Be comfortable.
Yeah, be comfortable. I'll move you in your spot. I'm sorry. I thought I checked
it. I mean, we've talked about this every week. It's the Friday episode of Games Daily. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, lay back.
I'm going to
put my feet up.
Fun, weird one.
Oh, he's going to fall over. Put
your feet up, Les. Get comfy.
Kevin, if you keep my cropping, I can do it this way. Because now I'm filling the whole screen. And this is way more comfortable than what I'm used to.
Why don't you do it all the time then?
I'm gonna perform like this.
It's only gonna be comfortable for like 5 minutes, then your legs are gonna fall asleep. You're gonna feel weird about it.
Oh, we'll see.
You get butt tingles.
My legs aren't gonna fall asleep.
Okay.
If anything, my legs are less likely to fall asleep in this position. Because now they're straight. This is basically me laying down.
All right.
I mean, they're clearly bent. I can see everyone can see your knee clearly bent. Listeners can hear your knees bent.
If I was sitting down the right way, my knees would be more bent. If I'm trying him straight. Now, Kevin, you would know this. Right now, my feet are laying on the hook that I roll to get my desk up.
Yeah.
Those are what my feet are on right now.
Yeah,
so they're barely on
it.
There.
Yeah,
I can support. I got enough support.
Now, let's tackle the elephant in the room, all right?
What up?
Snuggle Grumps in the twitch.tv/kindafunnychat says, liking the hair, Bless.
Oh, thank
you. I told you yesterday I liked the hair as well, but then you threatened to cut it.
Wait, did I say that?
Yeah.
So I've been trying to grow my hair out because earlier in the year I watched season one of Atlanta, which I've seen before, but I was rewatching it just because Atlanta is such a great show.
Sure.
I saw Donald Glover's hair in that show. This position is really like throwing me off. I saw Donald Glover's hair in that show and I was like, I kind of want to do that because growing up, my parents never let me actually grow out my hair. They always made me cut my hair super short, which is why I've always had it super short.
Okay.
And I've never fucked around with like growing it out and curling it. And so this is like... this is the beginning of the process of me starting to curl my hair.
Are you going to stick with it?
I appreciate the compliments.
Are you going to stick with it?
We'll see. Right now, I do dig it. I think it's still in that place where it's still short enough to where I don't love the curls. But I do think as it grows, I'm going to grow to actually enjoy the curls more and more. But it's not that length yet where I think it's ideal.
All right. There's a poll in the Twitch chat right now. Should Bless grow his hair out? Yes or no? Very simple. Yeah. You know what I mean? I voted yes.
Get closer to the camera, people can actually see.
Bring your head all the way in. Get it even closer. We don't need to see your face. There it is.
If I bend my head down, that's when it starts to look bad because I think you can actually see my scalp if I actually turn down.
It's because you haven't grown it out yet. We understand. Everyone is looking at this. No one's like, oh, this is the final product. This is the ultimate level of what he wants. We understand that this is just the start of it.
I see people in chat ask me to get dreadlocks. I don't know if I'm going to go for dreadlocks. I feel like that's a step too far for me, but we'll see. We'll see. I do like curling it out.
And so you've never grown it out?
No.
Wow.
No.
You let your parents live in your head that long, rent-free, huh?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. My parents were super strict about it, and it got to the point where when I actually moved out, I never really thought to experiment just because I was like, this is life. This is what I know. Anytime I go to the barber, I always ask for the same thing. I'm always like, take it down to the one, make sure I get a fade, and that's pretty much what I ask for every single time. It's not like... For some reason, within the last year, I've had the realization, especially with like the pandemic and quarantine throwing our lives into chaos. I'm like, you know what, man? Life is short. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to do crazy things. Am I going to pierce my ears too? We'll see. Am I going to get a tattoo? Think about it.
What tattoo are you going to get? What Pokemon?
I might not get a Pokemon, because if I was going to get a Pokemon, I would get Eevee. And Belinda Garcia recently tweeted out her Eevee tattoo. Gotcha. And so now it's too late. Now I can't just copy her tattoo because that's a bad look. Sure. The tattoo that I've always thought about, and I'm afraid to say it on stream because I know I'm going to give people ideas. But whatever. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. The one I've wanted to do.
Real quick, before you even say it.
What's up?
Fucking shout out to your commitment if ever ready to fuck Blessing over. If you're like, what's he going to do? And then you run out this weekend and you get this tattoo and you tweet it at him. I'm like, fuck you.
Like, what? You never know. I got haters out there, Greg. I got haters.
That is a commitment as a hater.
The tattoo I've always thought about getting would be Mario from Super Mario 3, where he has on it's not the Tanuki suit, but it is the ears and the tail, the first power-up you get in, like, uh-huh, the first level, but without Mario. So it would just be the ears and the tail. I've always wanted to get that, because Mario 3 has always meant so much to me. And I feel like if I get the ears and the tail, it's not, like, very obviously a video game tattoo. I wouldn't want to get something that's very obviously video game. But for anybody who sees it and has played Mario 3 or is a fan, they look at it and they're like, oh, shit, I know what that is. Like, I want that kind of tattoo. And I feel like Mario 3 for me is something that means enough to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thought, right? They see and they're like, oh.
Not that we're not kink shaming by any, if you're a furry listening, of course, you know, more power to you. But if you're not, obviously, if you're trying to be like, oh, I got a video game tattoo, but other people interpret it the wrong way, obviously.
Yeah, like, I'm not a furry, but I'm not above it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, I mean, have you tried it? It sounds like that's where
I'm
we're
not
going.
Above it, is what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying it, but I'm not above it, no.
Blessing, you got a weekend coming. You can do whatever you want on it, all right? Don't worry about it. But before we get to the weekend, let's talk about some video game stuff, like Apple beating Epic, kind of. And, of course, Epic beating Apple, kind of. And then PlayStation killing it yesterday at their own showcase, and Far Cry 6's post-launch plan. We will talk about all of this and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in with your questions. You can write in with your comments. You can squad up with other Kind of Funny best friends. You can, of course, be part of the show with your questions about the daily news. We encourage you to do it. And, of course, you can get the show ad-free. You get it with the exclusive post show. You could get a whole bunch of different benefits for things like the Gamescast, the Xcast, PS I Love You. If you went over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now as I'm talking, we're recording this live, you could of course watch the live recording of the Kind of Funny Xcast this afternoon. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Epiphany Phoenix's, Dustin JB is in Grey Goose 925R. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. It is September on Twitch. Viewers across the platform throughout this month can get take advantage, of 20% off subscriptions for the first time subscribers and gifted subs. Your support means the world to us here at Kind of Funny, and right now you can take advantage of this deal and receive benefits like ad-free viewing, sub emotes, and so much more. Yes, if you are watching live, you could subscribe. Remember, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, which is now Prime Gaming. It gives you a free 30-day sub, so even if you're listening on a podcast service later, it would mean a lot if you went linked up your Amazon Prime to your Prime Gaming and went to Kind of Funny Games. Remember, of course, they don't let it auto renew. You have to do it every 30 days. Shout out to Neferimu 3426, who subscribed during this, has a 4-month streak. Congratulations. No, 4 months total, 2-month streak. Remember, I have some more housekeeping for you. There is a brand new, incredibly special, unrecorded Kind of Funny Gamescast that's going to post on Monday. It's a review. You should be looking out for it. Nothing else I can say about it, just Kind of Funny Gamescast. Out of the pocket, as they say, Bless. Not on its normal day, you know?
I know. Should people get any questions for that one? Or should they... Maybe they can...
That would be helpful.
Any questions?
That would be helpful. It's all,
there's a lot of games coming out in September. You know, maybe you can guess.
I love it. You know, I love so much being able to get listener mail in for shows, but then all these goddamn embargoes. And so then I got to... Like, yeah, if they're... I should just say it. Again, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can write into any of the shows. Remember, most reviews go up on Gamescast. PS I Love You, we get nerdy about the PlayStation games we've reviewed in the past. So if you could think right now about games that are coming out that haven't been reviewed that we would be hitting an embargo for at some point, go ahead. And again, don't even think about like try to get, I mean, what if Far Cry 6, it ain't Far Cry 6, right? What are your Far Cry 6 questions? Eventually we're going to review that. It'd be great if we had those. I digress. Thank you to our Patreon producers, the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Honey, DraftKings, and American Giant, but we'll tell you about those later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Yeah. We got 7 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
This is a big one, Bless. All right, I was up early today assembling it, trying to add a bunch of meetings. I was like, I already got this Games Daily put to bed. Well, of course, lead with the PlayStation Showcase, recap Wolverine, have a great time. And then what had to happen was that the judge, Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers. I know you know her, Bless.
That name many a time. I'm very familiar with Yvonne.
Judge Gonzalez Rogers came down with the ruling in the Apple versus Epic thing. And the short version, I think, in the long run, is that Fortnite has defeated Apple, parentheses, on the only count that matters. We're going to go over to The Verge, where Russell Brandom writes this. Judge Gonzalez Rogers issued a permanent injunction in the Epic vs. Apple case on Friday morning, handing a major setback to Apple's App Store model. Under the new order, Apple is, and then this is now directly from the injunction, permanently restrained and enjoined from prohibiting developers from including in their apps and their metadata buttons, external links, or other calls to action that direct customers to purchasing mechanisms in addition to the in-app purchasing and communicating with customers through points of contact obtained voluntarily from customers from account registration within the app. If that means nothing to you, ladies and gentlemen, what it should mean is that this, remember, Epic sued Apple because they were saying you guys are a monopoly and mainly you're taking too much of our money. Of course, the only way to buy things in Fortnite on when it was still on the App Store was to do it through the Apple app, which meant that Epic had to pay Apple some of the money. A lot of people hate this. They hate this 30-70 split, right? And so what Epic did is incentivize people to, of course, play on other platforms, but buy it through the direct link to their store, which is a complete violation of what Apple wanted. So when they put this into the Fortnite app back in the day, they said, hey, you can just buy more V-Bucks here and get them at a better deal. Apple delisted Fortnite. It set off this lawsuit. We went there for it. And now what? Granted, there's a whole bunch of different parts of the lawsuit Epic lost on and has to pay Apple a bunch of money, but I guarantee they do not fucking care and they are counting this as a win because they have now had a permanent injunction against the entire App Store saying how Apple is allowed to make money, or now it should be, is how third parties, the people who are making the apps, are allowed to monetize you and put things back in there of saying, hey, yes, you can click on this link and get V-Bucks here. You can buy this through our own web portal, so you don't have to do this. This is a big deal for how business is done on the App Store. Back to The Verge's article, though. In the full ruling, Judge Gonzalez Rogers explained her thinking on the issue in greater detail. Quote, the court cannot ultimately conclude that Apple is a monopolist under either federal or state antitrust laws, she writes in the ruling. Nonetheless, the trial did show that Apple is engaging in anti-competitive conduct under California's competition laws, end quote. For years, Apple and Epic Games, which makes Fortnite, have been at odds over the transaction fee system in the iOS App Store, which Apple sees as a necessary operating cost, but Epic sees as a monopolistic tax. The fight came to a head in August 2020 when Epic installed an alternative payment system in Fortnite to circumvent the App Store's transaction fees. Apple responded by removing Fortnite from the App Store, which sparked an immediate legal complaint from Epic. The subsequent trial was a brutal tug of war over the App Store model and Apple's efforts to maintain control over software on iOS. Among other things, we learned about Apple's strange accounting methods and charm offensive to keep major players like Netflix using in-app purchases. The ruling is likely to have significant impacts outside of Apple. Google is already facing a similar lawsuit from Epic Games over its own efforts to maintain the Google Play Store as the central source of software on Android, drawing on elaborate deals with phone manufacturers. This was breaking this morning before our company-wide meetings, so I also went and grabbed some other people. Bloomberg had this bit I wanted to toss in. A federal judge granted an injunction sought by Epic Games Incorporated Friday, but also ordered the game maker to pay damages to Apple. The order will take a bite out of the profitability of the App Store. According to analysts, the App Store takes in more than $20 billion a year with a profit margin above 75%. So we're dealing with numbers so large, Blessing, you and I and our bank accounts can never understand them. But the long and short of it, Apple is going to make less money. And you knew this was a big deal when I was on Twitter looking at everybody's reactions to it, and I see the CNBC live talk as the stock price is dropping behind them. Yep. Not like radically. It's, you know, 100. It's like from $155 to $151 at the time of this thing was being recorded.
Yeah, I think like when I saw it was like 2% or something like that, the stocks had dropped, which is pretty wild for Epic to have that kind of impact on a company like Apple, which is one of the biggest tech companies on the planet, right? Like, this is one of those news stories where if you want to gauge how big this is for what we talk about on KFGD, just like go and look it up on Google in the news tab and see who's reporting about it. Because like you mentioned CNBC, when you click over, I see like New York Times and I see USA Today and a bunch of other companies that are way outside of what we're used to in terms of video games journalism, right? And you know, big companies talking about this huge thing that all kind of in a weird way stretches back to Fortnite and Fortnite's influence, which is crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, the fact that again, some regards, Epic won. Like, again, yes, they have to pay a bunch of different money, right? Well, I like this tweet from Jason Schreier. I'm going to read, and then he has screenshots. Of course, Jason Schreier from Bloomberg has screenshots of the actual ruling that I'll read from, too. But Jason tweets, so Epic lost on just about every count, and will have to pay millions, while Apple now has to let apps use external payment processors, potentially costing them billions. Big win for everyone who is rooting for both companies to lose, which I love is a great way to boil this down, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so to get into the actual, like, the two screenshots Jason has, he has remedies here first, and it's the relief to which Apple is entitled is that to which Epic Games stipulated in the event that the court found it to be liable for breach of contract, namely, damages in this, so this is money Epic has to pay to Apple. Damages in the amount equal to 30% of the little more than $12 million in revenue Epic Games collected from users in Fortnite app on iOS through Epic Direct Payment between August and October 2020, plus 30% of any such revenue Epic Games collected from November 1st, 2020 through the date of judgment. And a declaration that Apple's termination of the DPLA and the related agreements between Epic Games and Apple was valid, lawful, and enforceable, and Apple has the contractual right to terminate its DPLA with any or all of Epic Games' wholly owned subsidiaries, affiliates, and or other entities under Epic Games' control at the time of this. So that's the money, that's the thing, and that's where we're going, right? This is the conclusion that was penned, right? Conclusion. This trial highlighted that, quote, big tech encompasses many markets, including, as relevant here, the submarket for mobile gaming transactions. This lucrative $100 billion market has not been fully tapped and is ripe for economic exploitation. As a major player in the wider video game industry, Epic Games brought this lawsuit to challenge Apple's control over access to a considerable portion of this submarket for mobile gaming transactions. Ultimately, Epic Games overreached. As a consequence, the trial record was not as fulsome with respect to antitrust conduct in the relevant market as it could have been. Thus, and in summary, the court does not find that Apple is an antitrust monopolistic in the submarket for mobile gaming transactions. However, it does find that Apple's conduct in enforcing anti-steering restrictions is anti-competitive. A remedy to eliminate these provisions is appropriate. This measured remedy will increase competition, increase transparency, increase consumer choice and information while preserving Apple's iOS ecosystem, which has pro-competitive justifications. Moreover, it does not require the court to micromanage business operations, which courts are not well suited to do, as the Supreme Court has appropriately recognized. So I really do. I saw a lot of different takes and the way people were boiling the headlines down of I was like, holy shit, Epic beat Apple.
Yeah,
and then Epic so many people were like, man, Apple beat Epic on all but one thing. But I'm like, but the one thing that they lost on is exactly what Epic wanted them to lose on.
Yeah, like that is the thing that kind of brought this into the situation in the first place, because it was the fact that Epic with Fortnite, they circumvented the App Store, right, and were pointing people to an alternative pay method to get into their microtransactions and currency. And that was the thing that crossed the line for Apple and made them go, okay, cool, we're going to take you guys off the App Store. And, you know, like, if you guys are going to circumvent us in this way, we don't have to host you. You don't have to be on the iPhone. And that is pretty much what sparked up this whole situation, this whole back and forth. The hashtag free Fortnite stuff, this was basically the heart of it, right? The heart of it was, Apple is functioning as a monopoly. Apple, if you want to be on Apple iPhones, you have to go through the App Store for any kind of purchase. And that was the core of Epic's problem. And that was the core of, like, what them and quite a few other developers are trying to fight for and trying to prevail in. And so in that core fight, they won. They might have to pay Apple $12 million,
which to Epic is nothing.
Yeah, for them, right? They've already spent so much money on this issue, right? On these court cases, on trying to fight this fight, that for them, $12 million to win this court issue is probably way worth it, and is going to have huge ramifications for the future of how Apple functions in the App Store and the profitability there. Like, of course, it's Apple, it's iPhone, so they're going to be fine in the long run. Like, you know, this isn't going to topple business by any means, but for Epic, this is a meaningful enough change to where for them, it's completely a win. Like, this is, I would say, yeah, for me, I would say this is a win. And again, like, I think the more wild thing for me with this is just the story of Fortnite and how that game went from something that, you know, was announced years and years and years ago, disappeared, came back, failed, pivoted, got super successful, and it is now so successful that it has launched the Epic Game Store. It has brought Epic into another tier of like, hey, we are this business now, right? Like, we are Epic, of course, existed and was popular before Fortnite, but now Epic is the Epic we know today. And now they're actually able to take on Apple in fights and actually win those fights because of Fortnite, which I think is just such a crazy story.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's breaking right now. According to Google here on the NASDAQ, Apple stock is down 2.9. Oh, no, just changed again. 2.25%. It's not as low as it was I guess this is Eastern time, right? Yeah, 11:55 a.m. But it's still down from where it was at the opening of market. So we will continue to see what this does. And obviously, this is long form ramifications. This is, I don't think, Fortnite's not coming back to the app stores today, and I don't think every other app on the app store is going to suddenly change how they do in-app purchases, but there is a change coming, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Number two on the Roper Report is something else very interesting. Yesterday, PlayStation had a showcase, busing. 40 minutes of games. At the end of it, you said they didn't bring their A game. What are you still there? Are you still thinking they didn't have?
I didn't say they didn't bring their A game. I said they didn't bring their S game. You know, I don't think... For me, this presentation was a solid presentation. I think the exact words I used were B+/A-, which I stand by. You know, I don't think this was of the same tier as, like, even their first PS5 presentation where they came out and they revealed Miles Morales and they revealed a bunch of games between that Little Devil Inside, Stray, Solar Ash, and a bunch of games across the board that we're going to speak to, hey, this is what the PS5 is for the future. I think this is still a solid showcase in terms of us getting God of War gameplay, yep, us getting Spider-Man 2, us getting Wolverine. Like, they had those bangers there, but for me, there was still that stretch in the middle where, you know, like, we got things like Chia, we got you know, the re-reveal of GTA 5 coming to PS5, but that
I can give you the rundown. You can tell me when we hit the lull, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it, let's go through the big bullet points and, of course, add in some information that came to light after we went off the air. Of course, if you'd like to see our live reactions, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where our entire reaction to the showcase, screams and all, is up. They opened, of course, with the big one. And I say the big one as if Wolverine's not at this thing, right? But the fact that they are remaking Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, KOTOR remake is real. SIE is part of it. Lucasfilm is part of it. Aspyre is part of it, right? It's going to be a console launch on PlayStation 5. It'll be a console exclusive PlayStation 5 at launch. And then, of course, there's a bunch of information out there. One of the things I'm pulling from was over on StarWars.com where they wrote about it. And this is one of the developers talking. I can confirm that the voice you hear is Jennifer Hale. We all think the world of Jennifer. She is an amazing talent and immediately slipped back into the role of Bastilia. It's been so long, I don't remember how to say this name, but I would say Bastilia, when she came to help us with the teaser trailer. I do think you're going to see some other familiar voices return, but that's probably as deep as we're going to go on that one right now. So if you missed the trailer, you should go see it. It has Revan in it. No spoilers if you've never played this game. And then, of course, Jennifer Hale is in there. She was in the original game, of course, Commander Shepard, of course, Rivet in Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and now she's back as a part of this, and apparently other voices will be too. Blessing, do you have a history with KOTOR?
No, not really. It's one that I've always been curious about because I like Star Wars video games, and I like what Obsidian does, KOTOR as Obsidian and BioWare, right? Because both of them worked on different KOTOR games. But like, I like those types of RPGs, and so this is the thing that's always spoke to me. So like, when this comes out, I'll for sure check this out because this seems like a really cool thing.
This is like not. this is the first, I think I bought my Xbox for this, but also a little bit for Stubbs the Zombie, which was coming later, as I remember. But it was that I played a bit of KOTOR on my roommate Parker's thing. And I loved it so much that that's when I bought my original Xbox in college and got that, got KOTOR 2, and just played those all the time, nonstop. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for this. And especially if they're going to update combat and make it fucking feel like, you know, more fluid and more modern and all this other jazz. Like, hell yeah. What a game. I can't wait to see how that comes out.
What is your biggest ask for a KOTOR remake in 2021?
It would be the combat system. You know, Andy last night was very much like, oh my God, please don't make it turn-based or whatever. I if they made it action RPG, you know what I mean? That'd be fucking insane and awesome. I don't think they will. I bet they'll stay probably turn-based, but I don't know, man. I just want it to look good, feel good, have a good voice acting. Like, and be, it's going to be so hard to live up to it. Like, you know, what that game was and what that game means to so many people that I think you just really have to crush it. It can't feel old. It can't feel janky. It can't feel like boxy and locked in.
Do you have expectations that they're going to add more for story and world building?
No, I don't. I mean, they'll have to. No, I mean, it's a remake, right? And I think that game is so old and dated that it can't just be a remaster, which we've seen on like iOS and stuff like that already. I think that it is a full-blown remake and you have to flesh it out, but I don't think you deviate from what that original story was. I think that's, you know, the trying to track down Revan will still be the big part of it.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it, especially it being brought by Aspyr or Aspyr. I've never figured out how to pronounce that one. But like, you know, they're known for doing a lot of remasters of previous Star Wars stuff, and they've remastered just a bunch of games in the past, but I don't believe they've actually made a big AAA game that's like original and brand new. And of course, this is still a remake, but this seems like the biggest project they've worked on so far. And so I'm hoping they deliver on it. I'm very curious to see what they bring. Because if they're able to bring it on this, I'll say that that then takes Aspyr and puts them on a new level in terms of what we expect from them.
100%. And that's the thing, is I do think it's a big ask for Aspyr. I mean, obviously, I think that, you know, they are trusted enough, obviously, to have the license and be ready to go. But what it'll actually turn out to be, I'm fascinated to see. Yeah, because again, I think there are so many expectations for it. But I also think so much time's gone by that, you know, even for me, I mean, I'm talking about playing this in college. This isn't like, you know, I was amazed, as I know we've talked about before on shows, that how many people hadn't played Mass Effect. And it was that thing of like, oh, yeah, I'm old, I forget about that. Right. And this is a game that was like even further back than Mass Effect when I was working at IGN. That's why, of course, it was so weird that people hadn't played Mass Effect, because it's been a part of my career the entire time. But to go back to when I was in college and that's when KOTOR came, like, if people haven't had the story spoiled for them, that'll be the biggest problem. Like, I think you just have to go with that, but I'm stoked for it. I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Project Eve was the next one they showed from Shift Up or whatever. What did you think of this one? You were popping for it at times.
I was popping for it because I was very much trying to figure out what it was, because it opened up and I was like, oh, this looks like a Platinum game. Oh, this looks like it's Nier, but I don't think it's Nier. This definitely, I mean, it's not Platinum because they didn't have Platinum at the beginning. Like, what is this thing? And then they started saying the words Eve and other words that they said Eve and they said Parasite, I believe. And I was like, I think all of us were like, is this Parasite Eve?
Are they bringing back Parasite Eve? Did we just see Parasite Eve come back?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, earlier this year we watched the Parasite Eve trailer for an episode of PS I Love You. So I was waiting for like a shot of a theater and a crowd and like fire. I was waiting for the imagery that I know that I now associate with Parasite Eve. And then you get to the end and it's Project Eve. And I was like, you know what? Like, regardless, this game looks really cool. It looks really awesome. The fact that upon seeing the action, I was reminded of a Platinum game, I think is probably the biggest compliment I can give to it, right? Like, it gives those vibes. And it has kind of a unique look to it. I'm very curious about it. This is one that I didn't necessarily get super hyped for, but I am excited to see more because it looks like it can be promising.
Yeah, it doesn't look like my kind of game, but it definitely looked pretty. It definitely was, you know, high octane action out there and stuff like that, and has that anime influence to it. So more power to you. Go get them, you know. Then it was Wonderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, the Borderlands spinoff. We got gameplay for the first time, a new trailer for that. We also got the release date of March 25th, 2022. It looks like Borderlands. It's got Tiny Tina. I'm still excited for it. Like, I like Tiny Tina a lot, and I like the idea of this weird fantasy D&D game you're in inside it with some of the Borderlands mechanics and guns and stuff like that. That seems like it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Forspoken was up next, spring 2022. This is, of course, the game Gary's working on writing on. It's the most we've ever seen for it in terms of gameplay and what's actually going on. I didn't expect this. I haven't followed it closely, but I didn't expect this. I'm just a normal lady pulled into this weird fantasy world, and I got these talking rings on my arm, and we're gonna go fight stuff and use like sigils from Doctor Strange. I'm like, all right, this looks cool.
Yeah, I love that. Like the one I made the comparison to the Ten Rings, the bracelets that she had on at one point. I believe it must have been the previous trailer, and I forget where we saw it, but we had glimpses of, you know, the fact that she is this character from what seems like present day, pulled into this fantasy world. And I'm very excited for this to come out, because I think, you know, I'm on the Tim Getty side of things of this just seems real different and real cool, and I'm all about like this weird, I guess, like, this seems like something we've not gotten before in terms of a character in a certain setting, right? Like having her have all these superpowers, having her be this woman who's you know, from present day and like going through and exploring this world that seems super fantastical, right? Yeah. Like I'm all about that, and the movement of it seems really cool. The game in terms of style and art direction seems really cool. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see more of it and actually get to play. Of course, we all want to support our friend Gary Wood, of course, Kind of Funny host.
Of course. And spring 2022 is really soon. Like, spring is popping.
Dude, spring, like, well, how many things are actually going to be there? That's a different conversation. You know what I mean? Yeah. How many things actually make spring 2022? But a lot of people are planting their flags, including Rainbow Six Extraction, which we got a new trailer for. Also showed the January date again, I guess, which I think we already knew that. Didn't we already know January?
Believe we already knew.
Yeah. Then we got Alan Wake Remastered. Of course, it had already been announced, but they hadn't given us a release date. We got to see a trailer for it and found out that it's coming October 5th. So right in time for the spooky season. As King of Halloween, I'm very excited to play it.
I mean, I'm excited as well. I will say, you mentioned, you know, chime in when you're starting to see the lull in the thing. And looking back at the last few announcements, right? Like, KOTOR Remake was such a 10 out of 10 opener, right? How many people are fans of KOTOR? How many people are fans of Star Wars? How many people are going to go crazy for this thing? You get into Project Eve, which is an unknown, which looks really cool, but I believe was announced prior, like it existed prior, and this is just a re-reveal slash new trailer for it. You get into Wonderlands, which, you know, we know exists, we've seen before, you know, that's kind of a known quantity. It's nice to see gameplay. You get into Forspoken, which you've seen quite a few times and still looks good, still looks great. And then you're getting into Rainbow Six Extraction, which we've seen quite a few times, and Alan Wake Remastered, which we already knew existed. I mean, like, at this point, I'm like, cool. Like, you know, nothing. Even KOTOR wasn't a surprise because we knew that existed as well.
This is definitely the, you can go quote unquote lull, but it's more the, these games won't appeal to everyone, but they're going to be for somebody, right? And you're out there and like, so like, I'm excited for Wonderlands more than I am for Spoken, right? And I don't care about Extraction, but I'm super into Alan Wake. And it's like, it's that ebb and flow, right? But it is this thing of, you have a bunch of games in the middle here that aren't your AAA bangers. These are the ones we're putting out here. And it was, as we get deeper into this section, a little bit where I was like, damn, they only got like 7 minutes left. Like, yeah. Are they actually going to be able to make this into a banger? Or is this going to be one everybody's disappointed? Because it was, if you weren't paying attention or missed it yesterday live, you know, right before this goes live, everybody on Twitter, like Jason Schreier, is like, oh, this is going to have some stuff everybody's been asking me for. And like, people are like, ah, oh, getting like the hype was starting to build into this was going to be more than just a PlayStation what do they call them? State of Play. More than a PlayStation State of Play. This was going to be a certified banger. And so I was like, all right, is it actually going to be? We don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, Kebabs in chat and all cast says, did we know KOTOR Remake existed? 100% we knew, right? Imran Khan told
forever.
You.
Forever.
It's been rumored forever. Imran Khan told you, I believe, on this show that, like, oh man, Aspyr could be working on a KOTOR Remake, right? Like, every single thing that's been announced so far has been a known quantity to some extent. And as we get into the next few announcements, that continues. And it is the thing that was the build until we got to about Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy coming to PS5 and PC, which is exciting. But I for me, the bangers of the showcase were starting off with KOTOR and then the last three, which I'll let you continue to recap.
Well, to the end, yeah. At the end is when Herman Hulst showed up, right, from PlayStation Studios. And that's when it was like, all right, here we go. Yeah. This is going to be the first party. This is Worldwide Studios, or what you
said. I said it somewhat jokingly during the actual live reaction, but now I would reinforce the fact that felt like him switching to, all right, that was the pre-show, now here's the actual show, and it is the three bangers that we got, which is fair, and I think that is them putting PlayStation Studios as this prestige, hey, like, we are PlayStation Studios, we are the guys that bring the bangers, right? Like, everything else is not PlayStation Studios, those are your appetizers, cute, those are your desserts, like, you know, those are your sides, these are the main courses, what we're bringing to the table, like, what Insomniac has to say, these are the main courses, which is fair, and of course, Insomniac is Insomniac, so I get that method of thinking, but you know, when I take this and I compare it to the original PS5 presentation, which, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we got games like Little Devil Inside, we got Returnal, we got Miles Morales, we got Ratchet and Clank Ripped Apart, we got, you know, Goodbye Volcano High, along with like a bunch of indies that looked really cool and looked really promising. Recompile, we got like that first presentation compared to this presentation, I would say was leaps and bounds ahead of this one. But I would say that, like, you know, if for some people, they would say this presentation has higher highs, and I get that. You know, I think God of War plus Wolverine plus Spider-Man 2 are
we're not
sure
even there yet.
The highest of highs we can get to, but
the highest of highs comes next when they put up Grand Theft Auto 5 again, showing you
we
more
got
of Grand
next
Theft.
At that last presentation, that's all
they
I'm saying.
Fucking show you Grand Theft Auto 5 here and delay it. March 2022 is when Grand Theft Auto 5 is now coming out. From the press release, there's a read that goes like this: Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto Online will now arrive on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/X March 2022, featuring a range of technical and graphical improvements across the entire experience, including performance enhancements for select vehicles on GTA Online and much more. And to get you ready for launch, new and existing PlayStation Plus members can still take advantage of the additional bonuses, including 1 million GTA bucks every month for the PlayStation 4 version of GTA Online until the game launches on PlayStation 5 in March 2022. Players can claim their GTA $1 million each month on the PlayStation Store. In addition, the new standalone version of GTA Online will be available to claim for free on PlayStation 5 for the first 3 months after launch in March 2022. Blessing number one, have you been good about collecting your $1 million from GTA every
yes,
month?
I have been. Well, not every month. Some months I do forget, just because it's hard to like keep GTA Online on the mind at all times. But I have been collecting that $1 million, and it has been a sweet deal. Like, that is the one thing that them delaying it to March makes it kind of fine for me, is the fact that, cool, what, you're delaying it 6 months? That's $6 million more dollars for me. Cool. You know, I'm down with it.
What do you feel about the March 2022 delay?
It baffles me a little bit because, you know, like, making video games are hard. I'm sure pandemic has affected every single studio, including Rockstar, with this remaster. I still have that question in the back of my mind of like, wait, like November to March? Like, what are you doing to this GTA remaster that is making it, you know, difficult to get out by fall? But again, like, who knows? Again, making video games is hard.
Of course.
Early next year is now like super packed, and them putting a March date on this is making it maybe even less likely that I'll spend too much time in this. You know, I love GTA and GTA Online. I jump into with new events that seem cool to me, right? Like last month I talked all about the Los Santos Tuners event, which was basically Fast and Furious shoved into GTA Online, which I was all about. But you know, it's a game that I'll jump into for a few weeks and then pop out of and come back whenever there's a big thing happening. And for me, like a GTA 5 remaster on PS5 could count as like a, hey, this is a reason to jump back in. But if there's not anything, I guess, too interesting alongside it in terms of an event or in terms of a cool story or a cool piece of DLC, then we'll see how long I spend with it.
Okay. Charles Jacobson in the chat live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames says there's also a Prime gaming bundle for GTA Online. Blessing, don't forget.
Cool. I might have already redeemed that one.
Remember, if you're Prime there's gaming, like you get a free 30-day subscription to give to us.
There's GTA Online like Prime gaming stuff, I feel like, constantly all the time. And so, like, sure, you know, always check back. If you play GTA Online, always check back in, because I'm sure there's always something to redeem in there.
Up next was Ghostwire Tokyo. We got a longer trailer, a lot of gameplay in there. They also, of course, said reconfirmed, I guess, PlayStation 5 and PC spring 2022. Did the trailer do anything for you, Bless?
No, not really.
Yeah, I didn't like the trailer.
And I don't know if it was us watching it through Discord or what, but, you know, it looked, when you first got that reveal of Ghostwire Tokyo, it was so cool, right? Like, that first reveal felt very much like the end of Infinity War, like going into Endgame, of like, you know, people are gone, like the streets are empty, there's this weird shit is happening. And the way that they set the tone in that first Ghostwire Tokyo trailer was so perfect. Now that we've seen even more gameplay, I'm like, I want this to be cool, I want to like this. But, you know, something about this strikes me as, hey, this is going to be another thing for the folks who liked Evil Within, which Evil Within has that audience, and I know people that love that game, so that's not taking anything away from them. But
sure, of course,
this seems like another game in that catalog of, hey, this is what we do. You know, this is I forget the name of the studio, but this is like, God, it's on the tip of my tongue, I can't grab it.
For this game or Team Asobi?
Tango Gameworks.
There it is.
Tango Gameworks. Like, this is the type of game we make, right? Like, we like horror. We like, you know, these vibes. And, you know, I think that's going to work for that audience. But at the same time, for it being a something akin to Deathloop in terms of being a PlayStation exclusive coming out of Bethesda, the publisher, right? Like, this should be something that I think should speak as a banger for the more wider audience, and I don't know if it's doing that. That said, I'm sure people are going to play it and are going to enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, trailer didn't do much for me in terms of like, oh, the more I see of the game, the less I'm into it. So, It's weird, the white space, but you can go watch it yourself. Then they did Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, you know, of course, October 26th. Another trailer that didn't do it for me. Like, and we, you know, Tim had talked about when he went and saw it behind closed doors that, you know, they use licensed tracks in it, obviously, like a Guardians movie. And that when we watched it on the original stream, not this one, I'm talking about when they talked about it on the Square Enix Presents, they use, you know, royalty-free music. And so the trailer music here was like another, it clearly trying to sound like 80s hair metal or whatever. And it just wasn't real though. So I don't know if that's just what they put in there, how they did it, or if that's something that's happening in the game. But I thought that made it a weird tone. And then the jokes were weird the way they were inserted. I'm still looking forward to this game, obviously, but
I don't like this trailer. It's that weird thing where, like, I think I mentioned that, like, this game looks like a fun time. It looks more fun than it looks excellent. You know, like, watching the trailer, it kind of has that a little bit of a janky look to it. It almost looks like it exists between AA and AAA to some extent. But I'm planning to jump in and have fun, right? Like, I like Guardians enough. I like the studio enough, right? I think enough of the energy and Guardians vibes are there in, like, the jokes and the characters, and the gameplay looks interesting. But, you know, Tim previewed it. I think he described it as, like, somewhere swimming in the sevens. And, you know, if that's what it is, that's what it is. And I think I'm going to have a fun time with that. And I think a lot of people are going to have a fun time with that. But, yeah, this trailer, I don't think sold it as well as it could have.
100%. Then there was another trailer for Blood Hunt, a Vampire Masquerade multiplayer game we know so much about, 2021, coming to PlayStation. I'm like, you're running out of months in 2021, but have at you, whatever you got. Then there was this little game that we have never seen a demo for or a trailer for called Deathloop. We got another Deathloop trailer. Colt talking over it, and I just turned my head away. I was like, I've seen all I need to see for Deathloop. I can look into Blood Hunt the Masquerade here. I don't need to worry more about Deathloop.
Right? Game
that I'm stoked for. You also on my preview piece. I love you, XOXO. Totally stoked for it. I'm just like, this game's got a optics problem right now. I've seen too much of this.
Yeah, I'll love like a tally count of what games have shown up the most prior to the release at different presentations. Because right now, I think the competition is between Deathloop and Dragon Age 11, whatever the Echoes of Elusive Age game is. You know, I feel like those two are competing in terms of, I see these things all the time. Dragon Age I've stopped seeing because it's now out in pretty much any form that it can be.
Every time that fucking song would hit, you're like, oh my god, oh my god.
It's a banger though, it's a great song, but yeah, you see it all the time. And Deathloop has hit that point where I'm like, stop showing me this game, I'm already in, like, you've already sold me, I don't need to keep seeing it.
Then there was this weird kid amnesia thing. I don't know what this was. This happened fast and everybody reacted and then it was over. What, this kid amnesia? What is this?
Kid A / kid amnesia, the Radiohead thing. Like, I guess what I was told on the stream is that Kid A is a Radiohead album and the game is called Kid A Amnesia. It looks like a partnership with Epic Games. It had some Control vibes to it, possibly. It looks interesting, but this is where I come back to in terms of the lull that was in this showcase, right? Like, when we look at, like, the unique reveals in the showcase versus, again, unique reveals in prior showcases, right? Like,
yeah,
in prior ones they were bug snacks and like stuff that ended up coming out, and we went, oh fuck, this is like kind of cool, right? Or this looks interesting. You know, you're excited for Goodbye Volcano High, along with like other games that were in those previous presentations. Kid Amnesia did not much for me at all. And even for the folks that were on the stream that seemed to be more Radiohead fans, it's not like they were above the moon about it. They're like, oh, this looks cool, you know, we'll check it out. Oh, it's out soon. All right, cool.
Go for it if that's your thing.
Yeah.
Then they showed this game, Chia. This is our last one before Herman Hulsen, PlayStation Studios. Looks Breath of the Wildy. You know, kids running around doing their thing. They're jumping off. They're saving the nature and doing all that jazz. I liked it. I liked what I saw, but
it looked a lot like Windbound, which had a similar. That game came out last year. Also has a Zelda-ish aesthetic to it, but it also leans toward the Wind Waker. You're sailing and you're surrounded by bodies of water. It has like a lot of, in the, even the art style in Windbound, I would say, is somewhat similar to the art style in this game somewhat. This game, I'd say, is a little bit more unique and interesting in terms of the look, but you know, those seem to parallel quite a bit for me. But I don't know. As somebody who really likes Breath of the Wild and I like Zelda a lot, this Chia trailer didn't really hit for me as well.
It I mean, as somebody who you know, it's funny, I want to play Tome when that comes out, which is a game about, you know, taking photos or whatever. Portillo's in it because Jen works on it, but whatever, but you know, Portillo's in it or whatever, and so like I have no connection to it, but I want to obviously get Porty. But so like last night I was thinking about it, I'm like, I gotta knock out Alba before then. Alba Wildlife Adventure, which I've been talking about a few weeks ago on PSLW. So I knocked out all the trophies and finished that last night, and then this one falls into that same thing, same kind of vibe, right? Because like in Alba you're taking photos and scanning the animals. Tome, it's a photography adventure, right? And then Chia is like somewhere in between all of that. This is from its Steam page. A tropical open world adventure. Climb, glide, swim, and sail your boat around a beautiful archipelago in this physics-driven sandbox. Use Chia's special ability to take control of any animal or object you can find and jam on your fully playable ukulele. Game inspired by New Caledonia. I'm like, fuck yeah. Sign me up. That sounds great.
Cool.
It's time then to jump into what happened on PlayStation Studios. But ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we're only into the middle of the second news story and we are burning time. So right now I'm going to tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can go there to write in, to be part of the shows, to squad up with your friends, and of course, to get the show with the post show we do each and every weekday. If that wasn't enough, you could also get the show ad-free on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But guess what? You didn't go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Online shopping. Everybody does it. There's no shame in it. Unless you're doing it without Honey, that is. Then you should be ashamed of yourself. That's because Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands and even food delivery. It's also super simple to use. When you go to checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply codes. Then sit back and relax and Honey will search for coupons. If it finds a working one, you'll watch the price drop. Kevin and Tim swear by Honey. Everything they buy, they run through Honey first just to make sure we're making sure we get that best price possible. Kevin and Tim love Honey. Every single thing we buy, especially for the new studio, we use Honey for, because we want to make sure we're getting the best price possible. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. We'd never recommend anything we don't use ourselves. So go over, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. It's finally here. The NFL is back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons to get you excited. Literally millions, because to kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize, with a total of $4 million up for grabs for Thursday's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. Draft 6 players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code KFGD to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code KFGD, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. American Giant isn't just the name of the people who make the greatest hoodie ever made, no exaggeration. The folks over at American Giant call themselves that because they know the power of supporting local manufacturers, communities, and workers. That's why they produce everything in America, with the added bonus of getting to obsess over every single detail of their clothing at every step. And let me tell you, those two things close to home for me. I love great quality, I love made in America, and I love when people obsess over details. American Giant began with a belief that local makes better. Every detail matters, and the clothes you wear every day should be beautiful and durable. But they didn't stop there. After their first best-selling hoodie, they expanded well beyond it, continuing to revolutionize your everyday wardrobe and leaving things better than they were before. Explore American Giant's collection of durable essentials at AmericanGiant.com. And you get 20% off when you use code KFGD at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com. The promo code KFGD.
So I hit the body. And we're back right now, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about what happened when PlayStation Studios took the stage at PlayStation Showcase yesterday. First off, they came out to talk about Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy coming remastered to PlayStation 5 and PC. It's going to be called Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection. It's going to be available in early 2022 for PS5. The PC version is in development by our partners at Iron Galaxy and will release shortly after the PlayStation 5 version. Blessing, I know you're a huge Lost Legacy fan. This yes. get you going? You're happy about this?
I love this. I mean, I'm probably not going to replay these one right when they come out. You know, maybe yeah. later down the line, if I have the craving for more Uncharted, I'll go back to this because this sounds awesome. And I'd love to see how Uncharted looks on the PS5 and on PC, right? Like with those graphics knobs turned all the way up. That sounds like a really fun time. But it's cool, especially for people who may have not experienced Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy. You know, those are two games that I can't recommend enough. You know, those are the two, in my opinion, the two best Uncharted games. And so, like, you know, this is an awesome announcement. I think it was expected at some point for the PC port, I would say, but I'm happy they're announcing it. I'm happy that it's coming to PS5 as well.
Do you think that the fidelity of the PlayStation 5, the DualSense haptic feedback and adaptive triggers, will that be enough to make Jana Garcia like these games?
No. No, I've given up hope. You know, some games are not for some people, and you sometimes just got to accept that. Sometimes you got to accept that, hey, you know, not everybody's going to appreciate climbing and, like, you know, cool
great story, really cool, great, really great story, a fun adventure, a
love story
cast.
Between Elena and Nathan, solely, not everybody's going to appreciate that, and you just got to respect that.
Sure, yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of people want a cheeseburger where they're going to have a steak, I understand.
I am surprised, because on PS Love You this last week, we went through our predictions, and one of the things that I brought up was, will we see anything Naughty Dog? And, you know, I think for me, I said we'll see a glimpse of something Naughty Dog. I think Janet either said we'll see a full look or we'll not see anything at all. I forget which. But when I said glimpse, you know, I was talking about The Last of Us 2 Director's Cut.
That was my
prediction. I'm surprised that wasn't here.
Real quick, before we move on, in the chat, Many-Faced Steph says, okay story with okay characters and bad gameplay. So Many-Faced Steph is getting timed out. Think about what they've said. All right, then that's how we're gonna rule it today. We're not a part of this. All right, this is a showcase starting with KOTOR, a remake of KOTOR. Then came the biggest announcement of the day, ladies and gentlemen, the most unexpected announcement of the day. We got a trailer, a very small teaser trailer for Marvel Wolverine. This, of course, is the Wolverine game by Insomniac. Blessing, can you fucking? I woke up this morning and I was like, motherfucker, Insomniac making a Wolverine game. Holy shit.
Greg, I don't know how often you scroll through TikTok. I scroll through TikTok.
I do all the time.
Very often. I was shocked at the quickness of getting off of the PlayStation Showcase, like an hour later, going on TikTok and seeing people's reactions. Like, that was one of the most popular TikTok categories that were appearing on my For You page, was people going crazy over this Wolverine thing. I am still shocked by it, and I'm still over the moon about it. I think this is the coolest thing. I was not expecting Insomniac to appear in any shape or form at this showcase. And it's wild now that when we're talking about not just PS5, when we're talking about next gen, Insomniac is like on their fifth game. You know, like next gen has not even started about a year ago, and they've already put out Miles Morales. They put out Spider-Man Remastered. They put out Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And now they've announced Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine. That's five games already that they have going for next gen. Meanwhile, Naughty Dog is not, there's not a sight to be seen with Naughty Dog.
We're just worried about Last of Us factions somewhere that's happening. Nobody knows.
Like, what are they drinking over there?
This was such a awesome pump fake. Where it started, and immediately it was like, oh, it's Spider-Man 2. Awesome, let's fucking go. And then when it became, it was Wolverine, I was like, wait, is Wolverine and Spider-Man 2? And then I, you know, in our reaction, I'm like, is this a Wolverine game? And then it was a Wolverine game. It reminded me so much of when Naughty Dog finished Uncharted 3. And then there was the tease leading up to Last of Us. And it was so much like, oh, well, like Last of Us, or this game isn't going to be a Naughty Dog game because they just finished Uncharted 3. How could they be working on something else? And so to have Insomniac be like, oh, you thought it was Spider-Man 2. Actually, it's this Wolverine game. And then in a couple of minutes, right, they dropped the Spider-Man 2 trailer. But for this Wolverine thing, if you had missed it, in the post show, Herman described it as an emotional, suspenseful journey. And then there was a blog post up that I'm going to join with a whole bunch more in it, all right? Now let's talk about the announcement you probably weren't expecting, Marvel's Wolverine. Back when we were working on Marvel's Spider-Man, there would be times where all of us, Insomniac, Sony Interactive Entertainment, and Marvel would brainstorm together about the future beyond the web-slinger. And even in those early discussions, Wolverine continually came up as the character we'd be really stoked to work on together. Fast forward a couple years, and we're suddenly standing in front of Sony Interactive Entertainment and Marvel formally pitching a PlayStation 5 game starring the adamantium clawed mutant. Since you just saw the announced teaser, we can confirm that the pitch seemed to go pretty well. So many of the Insomniac team are huge fans of the character, and that one of the key elements that drew us to him is surprisingly not that different from Spider-Man. Both heroes feel deeply compelled to defend people who are less able to do so. Marvel's Wolverine is a standalone game being directed by Brian Horton, creative director, and Cameron Christian, game director, who recently led the creative efforts on Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, a game we're extremely proud of at Insomniac. In the vein of our Spider-Man games, our goal here is to not only respect the DNA of what makes the character so popular, but also look for opportunities to make it feel fresh and truly reflect the Insomniac spirit. Even though Marvel's Wolverine is very early in development, from what I've seen, it's emotional narrative and cutting edge gameplay. See what I did there? The team is already creating something truly special. Being able to build a new original universe with Spider-Man and now Wolverine is such an honor for many of us at Insomniac Games. I can't fucking wait, Bless.
Dude, I'm perplexed, right? Like I'm stunned. I'm shocked the fact that they're working on a Wolverine game, because I think when we talk about Insomniac as a studio, like, they've proven that they're really good at, making these types of action games. When you look at Spider-Man, we look at Ratchet and Clank, but both those games are very mobile. They're very gadget heavy. You're equipping different guns and weapons, and it's a lot of like stuff that you're throwing around, a lot of stuff that you're shooting, right? Like, Spider-Man has way more beat 'em up melee action than Ratchet, but even still, so much of like half of what you're doing in Spider-Man is like throwing shit out at enemies and making that go. Wolverine is going to be such a fresh game for them, because you can't really do that as much with Wolverine, right? Like, Wolverine's pretty much his claws.
And so for Insomniac,
it's like he's up close and personal. And so for Insomniac, what does that mean for their gameplay? How do they have to adapt to it? Wolverine is a fairly mobile character, but I don't see him as mobile as even a Spider-Man. And so, like, you know, how do you make that translate? What abilities do you give Wolverine? Do you give him like a power up ability where he's super strong for 30 seconds?
Berserker,
like,
attack.
Do you give him the Berserker Barrage? Like, do you give him like all the Marvel vs. Capcom abilities that he has in those games? I'm super excited to see what this looks like. You imagine this is a way more of a linear game as well, rather than, you know,
the way they keep talking about emotional and suspenseful journey, right? Emotional narrative and cutting edge gameplay. And this isn't me saying, obviously, Brian and Cameron couldn't do a bigger thing, but coming off something that was a more contained experience of Miles Morales, I think, yeah, you're going to get a more linear Wolverine thing. And I can see traversal, you know, he's going to have the lunge, if you remember from like X-Men Origins Wolverine, which terrible movie, yeah. great game, but great mechanically. Like the lunge to close distance. I could see, you know, run, and then have like jumps and double jumps and claw into walls and push off of that way and kind of like launch yourself.
God, it's going to be so good.
Can't fucking wait. Next up was GTA. And when will we see this? Not for a long time, right? Because, of course, as I'm about to tell you, Spider-Man 2 shows up and it gets a 2023 release date. This one, they talk about it being very early in development. So I think you're going to see it after Spider-Man 2, but we'll talk about that in a second. Gran Turismo 7 was next. March 4th was the release date. It wasn't confirmed during the showcase. It was one of those they confirmed after in, I think they said March in the actual interview afterwards. And then on the blog, they said March 4th, but I might be switching those up, but whatever. Gran Turismo, March, go get it. Then it was the Spider-Man 2 trailer dropping. It shows, if you haven't watched it, 2023 for the release date. It's Spider-Man and Miles beating up on a whole bunch of people, and then what sounds like Kraven talking about wanting to hunt, and then being like, "Will you help me?" "Yes, we will." And it's fucking Venom's face. And it's fucking awesome, Blessing. Awesome.
I mean, I've mentioned now that, you know, I don't think this is an S-tier PlayStation showcase. This was an S-tier Insomniac showcase by far.
Yes.
I can't believe Insomniac is as just good as they are. Like, I I've mentioned my critiques with Miles Morales and my critiques with Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Those are still two very excellent games to me, you know, despite the qualms I have with them. Sure. The fact that they're able to deliver even on that quality with this amount of consistency is mind-blowing. Like, it's mind-blowing to me. And so, like, again, S-tier level of presentation from Insomniac.
From their blog post about Spider-Man 2, it reads, "Much of the development team that brought you Marvel's Spider-Man is returning to produce Marvel's Spider-Man 2, including Brian Intihar, creative director, and Ryan Smith, game director. Today's game footage trailer is merely just a glimpse of what's in store in terms of the new abilities our heroes will acquire, suits they will wear, parentheses, more on that some other time, and the villains that will try to hunt them down." Hunt, see what they're doing there? And speaking of villains, did you catch that final line at the end of the trailer? "We're so happy to announce that Tony Todd of Candyman fame will be voicing the symbiote-fueled Venom in Marvel Spider-Man 2. We're also excited to welcome back Yuri and Najee, who will reprise their roles as Peter and Miles, respectively. In the chat, F. Rodriguez Film said Spider-Man 2 co-op. The blog post itself did confirm as well that this is a single-player game, so don't worry about that.
Symbiote, Greg.
I'm not doing it! Symbiote! Get out of here!
Get a co-op Spider-Man game? Because I was really hoping that that's what this was.
I'm fine with Marvel Future Fight. You could be playing with me right now.
Oh yeah, Marvel Future. Wait, Future Revolution?
That Future one? Revolution. You're right. Fire Future Revolution.
I have it downloaded. I should boot it up because it seems like a fun time.
But dude, like, come over tonight, get some pizza, have a cider, play some Future Revolution here. You know
that
what I'm saying?
Sounds like a good time.
That Let's do it, like dude. Let's do it. To do it.
You know, I'm happy that Spider-Man 2 is going to be the standard Spider-Man game that we're used to, right? Because Spider-Man 1, fantastic, and Miles Morales, fantastic. But you know, I would like them to try it out, right? Try out some kind of Ghost of Tsushima Legends adjacent Spider-Man game. Doesn't have to be mainline. Maybe it is a mode they put into Spider-Man 2. I would like to see how that works because I think that could be a fun idea.
And then they, of course, closed with the one, the only, the God of War Ragnarok. We got a trailer here. It's not even a teaser trailer. Tons of gameplay in there. You got Atreus. He's older. You got Kratos running through there. You got Thor out there. We got a mention of Odin. All sorts of hell is breaking loose as they go on with this, right? Kevin, I put in... It's actually at the bottom. If you want to click on it, you have a link there to Twitter where you can actually areas that actually they showed afterwards a release of Thor. This is from Raph over at the art director on God of War, Raph, putting up what their Thor looks like, who I am stoked about because I don't get to cosplay as many people. And I could definitely pull off this Thor because he is a portly gentleman.
One of the things they mentioned in that post show for the presentation was wanting to make a Thor that was separate from the Thor we know, and it felt very much like they were referencing Marvel Thor, right? Who's this dude who, you know, like, is super handsome, like, is buff, except for in Endgame, and, like, you know, we know is like, this god, this god being that we imagine. I love the fact that Thor in this game still has this strong, menacing presence, but he is, like, more rugged, he is bigger, he is, like, they talked about him being more akin to classic, actual Norse mythology Thor, as opposed to Hot Thor that we see in the movies. I'm all about. I think that's a really great way to differentiate it and make it feel original.
This isn't breaking news by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't even think somebody who will remain nameless is you're wronging me in DMs just to be like, to get ahead of anything that would ever happen. Wolverine is a full length standalone game. And so just a heads up that is from the source you could, but I mean, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales was a full length standalone game as well. I'm just saying smaller than Spider-Man. As was the one, right? That makes sense, right? Plus,
yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Full length, cool. Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
God of War Ragnarok, though. More stuff there. Corey Barlog, of course, the man with the plan from before, not directing this one. It's actually going to be Eric Williams will be directing this. Corey, of course, still studio creative director at Santa Monica, so he's working on another project that he couldn't talk about, but he was there. Ryan Hurst is going to be playing Thor. He was Opie on Sons of Anarchy, if you remember Sons of Anarchy, which I did. Didn't end well for Opie, but a fun thing while he was there. And then Richard Schiff, who was Toby on the West Wing, is going to be Odin, which I'm pretty stoked about. That sounds fucking awesome. There is a blog post up with a whole bunch of information talking about where we are. We're a few years past the events of God of War. The freezing winds of Fimbulwinter have come to Midgar, making survival for Kratos, Atreus, and Mimir in the Norse wilds even more challenging than before. But you can watch the trailer. You can get all that. You can read the thing here. There was, I'm scanning as I go because this was so late or whatever. They talk about the fact that you're going to be able to go to all nine realms this time. Last time around, we could not do that. Yeah, exactly, right? So that's super exciting that you get to go there and get into that. But there's actually a lot of information in the blog post if you wanted to go get there. But like I said, they're still saying 2022 release of God of War Ragnarok on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Whew. That was number two, and we are 3 minutes past overtime. You know what I mean?
Five more stories.
It's that thing where we didn't do like the full blown wrap up yesterday. We just got to react, so I wanted to do it here. And then I didn't expect Fortnite to happen, so I expect this to be the news story, and then all hell broke loose, right? So let me give you a few quick headlines before I get you out of here. All right, we don't have to go into all of them. Number three, I urge you to go to Wired. When we were going live, this was another one that was breaking. Cecilia put up this report saying Twitch is suing over the hate raids. Since early August, Twitch has been wrestling with an epidemic of harassment against marginalized streamers known as hate raids. These attacks spam streamers' chats with hateful and bigoted language, amplified dozens of times a minute by bots. On Thursday, after a month of trying and failing to combat the tactic, Twitch resorted to the legal system, suing two alleged hate raiders for targeting Black and LGBTQIA+ streamers with racist, homophobic, sexist, and other harassing content in violation of its terms of service. Again, I urge you to go read about it over there. Obviously, hate raids have been a whole thing that have been going on. There was just recently, you know, a day off Twitch, hashtag a day off Twitch, hashtag Twitch do better. We took part in it, obviously, a one-day boycott, saying we wanted to see Twitch do something about this. And this is the most recent thing they're doing about it. Blessing, obviously, anything helps, but it's nice to see Twitch trying something.
Yeah, I think this is a really good move because this is going to scare so many people that are taking part in this, right? Like, you know, I Twitch earlier in August put out a tweet of like, you know, we see the hate rates happening, you know, we're working on it. And after that, it was pretty much silence. And weeks after that, I was like, when I was streaming, I was getting hate rated like multiple times in 1 week in a way where, yeah, I was like, it very much feels like nothing is happening. It is very discouraging to try and stream during this time and not have any glimpse of what the fix is in the future. And so the fact that they're not coming out and, like, you know, this is happening and they're going after people who are doing it, you know, like, one, any step toward a solution is great, but I think this is a wonderful step because this is going to very much discourage people to go about this behavior. And I think that is very necessary, right? That is how you put an end to something like this.
Yeah, Cecilia in the reporting here talks about, you know, Twitch has instituted several changes aimed at mitigating hate raids. The company says it banned thousands of accounts over the last month, created new chat filters, and has been building, quote, channel-level ban evasion detection. But stomping out botters is a bit like playing whack-a-mole. They have a quote here that I liked, or Cecilia has a quote here that I liked at the end, talking to Raven, who, of course, is Wreck-It Raven, who was the person who had moved on all this. Raven says, I feel hopeful, right? Raven has been outspoken about the hate raids they continue to suffer through and help coordinate both the Twitch Do Better and a Day Off Twitch movements. Quote, the people who are behind this need to be held accountable for their actions. They've terrorized hundreds, if not thousands, of people. If this were to happen in a physical location, we'd expect the same. It shouldn't be any different online. So, yeah, movement, which is nice. I think that's been the biggest struggle, right, of like not seeing anything actually done about this. But there is something in motion now, which is good. Number four on the Roper Report was going to be talking about Far Cry 6 post-launch content being announced. I was going to read from Matt Lorigan over at PlayStation Trophies, and I still will. Far Cry 6 might not be out until next month, but that hasn't stopped Ubisoft from detailing the game's post-launch plans, with a mix of free and paid content getting released all the way to March 2022. Kevin, if you want, oh, you're a great job. Kevin's clicking play on it. The headline piece here is the addition of free crossover missions, all launching in 2022. The first of these sees beloved actor Danny Trejo joining the game as an NPC character, while the second crossover sees things go a bit Rambo, although there's no sign of Sly Stallone. The final crossover is a Stranger Things crossover called The Vanishing, and we'll likely be getting more details on the three closer to release date. You see Danny Trejo popping up right now with his machete. Keeping with the free content, weekly insurgencies will give players more activities due every week. Starting on launch week, then there will be six special operations taking place in new areas around the world. As for the paid DLC, there are three episodes releasing between November and March, each focusing on the charismatic villains of the previous main games. You know, we had previewed it on PS I Love You, what, 2 weeks ago? Last week, I guess. I'm super stoked for Far Cry 6. What I played of it, I really, really enjoyed, and I could see that, especially during, you know, this time off with a baby being something I chip away at 4 in the morning, going out there and clearing outposts. I don't know how much... The Danny Trejo as an NPC crossover mission? All right, why not? But, like, Stranger Things and Rambo don't do much for me, but they're all free, so whatever.
Yeah, I like how much they go for it in their DLC. I remember Far Cry 5 having an interesting lineup for post-launch DLC events, and those all looked cool. I never really participated in those because I just never really stuck with Far Cry 5. But, you know, this one, with them doing the different villains for their DLC drops,
yeah.
Where, like, it's starting with DLC 1 is Insanity with Voss, DLC 2 is Control with Troy Baker's character from 4, and then DLC 3... Pagan Min, thank you. And then DLC 3 is Collapse with the villain from 5. Like, I think that's a cool way to do it because, of course, with Far Cry, one of the things people like the most about those games are the villains. And Voss, especially, is such a fan favorite. I absolutely adore Voss as a villain. And so, you know, that's an exciting thing that could potentially get somebody like me, who usually skips out on the Far Cry DLC, in. You know, that speaks to me.
For a real short review roundup at number 5, Lost in Random reviews are up at 8:30 this morning. It had an 80 on Metacritic. I had a whole bunch of reviews pulled, or 3 like I normally do. They were all 8s, though. We'll go to and read from Game Informer's 8.25, though. Jill Grott says, "This shadowy fairy tale ties together a thoughtful story, evocative art style, and clever combat system in one engaging experience. Lost in Random has a lot to offer at any time, but the game's bizarre world and characteristic spooky atmosphere make it an excellent pick for the Halloween season." You care about Lost in Random at all, Wes?
I want to give it a try. EA has been on a roll this year with their EA originals between It Takes Two and Knockout City. And, like, you know, like, they have a pretty good track record, right? Even if a developer doesn't get knocked the first one out of the park, you know, maybe their second one is when they really shine. And Lost in Random, I forget the team that's working on this one or if they've done EA originals in the past, but whenever a new one's coming out, usually I'll hop in because I think those are some of the most quote unquote
inventive
original
things happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, those are the more inventive of the EA games coming out. You know, I did
Zoink Games, by the way.
Zoink Games, thank you. You know, I recently put up the Blessing Show about, you know, bring back EA Sports Big, and a big argument I made in that video that everybody should go check out on youtube.com, it's kind of funny games, yeah, is that you know, EA Originals does a lot of what I'd want to see from an EA Sports Big game, right? Like, Knockout City has that unique, interesting energy to it, right? Like, there's enough support behind it, there's enough budget behind it as well to make it this cool, fun thing that, you know, like, it's fun to hop into and is different from what you'd expect from an EA. Even It Takes Two has just a unique, fun energy with a lot of push and budget behind it, but is way different from you get from EA and other AAA developers as well, or publishers as well. And so Lost in Random, I want to check out as part of that. But you know, like, I kind of have, like, middle expectations for it, where I'm not jumping into it with huge anticipation, but I'm curious about it. I want to check it out. I'm hoping that it wows me.
Yeah, I like to see them be creative, but, like, the gameplay and the deck stuff didn't speak to me when I had seen it back in the day. So we shall see. And then final on the Roper Report, number 6, Epic is dropping House Party. This is Danielle Partis over at GamesIndustry.biz. Epic Games has announced that video chatting app House Party will be closing down next month. The app was pulled from storefronts yesterday, but will continue to function for existing users until October. Since joining Epic, the House Party team, Social Vision, and Core Technology have already contributed to new features used by hundreds of millions of people in Fortnite and by developers around the world, House Party said via a blog post. As a result, we can't give the app or our community the attention it deserves. Following the shutdown, the House Party team is now working on, quote, new ways to have meaningful and authentic social interactions at a metaverse scale across the Epic Games family, end quote. The Fortnite maker acquired House Party back in 2019 for a reported $35 million. In November last year, the app received a Fortnite mode that let players integrate video calling into the game. I'm sure they will all be fine. Again, $35 million from Epic? Who the fuck cares? That's why there's $12 million to Apple? Take it. I'm sure they don't care.
Yeah. Like, take our money. This is a drop in a bucket for you anyway.
Blessing, I'm excited to see what House Party's tech will be put into over at Epic, but that's still so far away. If I wanted to see something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Life is Strange, True Colors on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, and PC. I can't recommend this game enough if you're like me and like your goofy narrative games. I love Life is Strange, True Colors. The review is up on the Gamescast right now. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Platinumed it last night. Crazy enough that I think I might download it on PlayStation, the PlayStation 4 version, and platinum that again.
You're a madman.
From Earth to Heaven is on Xbox One. NBA 2K22 is on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series XS, One, and Switch PC. Lost in Random is out on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox XS, and One, Switch, and PC. Tales of Arise is out on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. A Day Without Me is on PS4 and Xbox One. WarioWare, Get It Together, is on Switch. Also reviewed on the Gamescast this week. You can catch that right now. And The Rewinder is on PC. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show, where you can write in, you can give us your reader mail, you can give all sorts of stuff. But more importantly, for right now, you could squad up. This is where one of you writes in and says, hey, I need help in a video game. I read here the best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, we have a special one from Dr. Farmer Mike. This is a squad up success story. Greg and Blessing, I'm getting married tomorrow, and I wanted to give a special shout out to my best man, Chef Nick. I know nothing would make him smile more than hearing Greg Miller read his name out loud to him. Chef Nick and I have been best friends for 25 years. We have spent countless hours playing video games and watching superhero cartoons and movies together as we've grown up. He introduced me to Kinda Funny in Review back in 2018 during MCU in Review. And since then, almost every day we text back and forth about something you guys have said or joked about in one of your latest podcasts. I want to thank you, the Kinda Funny crew, for giving us one more thing to laugh about every day as we continue to grow older together. And I want to give a special thank you to Chef Nick for being my best friend and best man. Here's to the next hundreds of hours we'll spend watching MCU content, catching dubs in Warzone, and having our wives tell us, quote, it's time to go to bed, while we laugh at each other over our mics about something that happened on Kinda Funny. Thank you for being awesome, Dr. Farmer Mike. Congratulations on the marriage. Yeah, marriage tomorrow, Dr. Farmer Mike. Have a great time. Try to remember everything. Try to sit there and take it all in. It's hard. It goes fast. And Chef Nick, get wasted. And then just get up there and give the best man speech of all time and quote us.
Not in that order. Maybe give the speech first and then get wasted.
Have you ever seen a bad best man speech? Have you ever seen a bad best man speech?
No, have you?
Oh, yeah. It's painful. Yeah, it is bad. I remember when we were getting ready for it, and our friend was just like, I'm just going to go up there and wing it. And I was like, oh no, dude. Like, yeah, you're not like a podcaster. You're a normal person. Like, don't do that. You can't do that. And he did, and he bombed hard. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone super late. So let me tell you, this is the end of the Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we won't be back tomorrow because it's the weekend. Of course, we ask you watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we got wrong. Sad Ghost Boy wrote in and said, not really a you're wrong, but more of an explanation. Kid A Manesia is actually Kid A Manesia Exhibition, and IGN describes it as an upside down digital analog universe created from an original artwork and recordings to commemorate 21 years of Radiohead's Kid A and Amnesiac. Go
Why
get him, Radiohead
PlayStation
fan.
Showcase.
Go get him, everybody. You know
they
what
do
I mean?
The showcase once a year. Why was that there? It sounds cool, but like, come on, bro.
Like I said, we won't be back because this is an every weekday show. So let me talk about next week and who will be hosting. On Monday, you're going to have Blessing and Tim. On Tuesday, it'll be me and Gary. On Wednesday, it'll be Blessing and Andy. On 16th of Thursday, it will be a Tim Tam Thursday. And then Blessing and I are back to close out your week. Of course, our show's not stopping. We, Blessing and I, are going to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, record a post show. You can catch it over there. Of course, like I said, we're recording a Gamescast 2 today that'll be going up on Monday. That's a review you should care about. And then if that wasn't enough, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, Snowbike Mike and Tim motherfucking Geddes are going to do the Artful Escape after this. Tim's game of the year, again, something he reviewed on Gamescast this very week. Really big Gamescast. Really big show. So you have something to hang out and watch on Twitch. If you're watching later, but you want to see gameplay of the Artful Escape and see why Tim loves it so much, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays later. No matter what you do, no matter where you get the show, no matter what you're doing to have fun, we love you. Thank you for your support. We love making these shows for you and having a good time with our friends. Blessing. You're a Georgia peach, and I love hanging out with you.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Don't cut your hair, all right? Let it grow.
I'll let
it's looking great. Grow. It's looking great.
Thank you, Barrett. See, if Barrett says it's cool, you know it's cool. All right, we're going to go do the post show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.